This is the Trade Raiders Podcast. Welcome.
I'm familiar, yes.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
This is a comic book club. Comic book club,
yeah.
We read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan, we're brothers. We read comics.
You're goddamn right we do.
We sure do. Nathan, I just wanted to, you know, before we get into the podcast, I wanted to do like some things for TikTok content wise.
Lovely.
So, you know, you love when I just throw things at you.
Yeah.
You know, so
people
what I'm
call
gonna
me
do,
racist.
Exactly. We're going to get back into that.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Love that.
So I'm going to describe a comic book, one that you will know, but I'm going to describe it very poorly, poorer than I normally do. Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty hard. But
and you have to.
Did you come up with these poorly written summarizations?
I sure did.
All right. Fuck.
I saw some TikTok account where they describe like, movies poorly.
Yeah. And I love those.
And it's really fucking funny.
Or it's like space wizard, you know, throws. His,
yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
A weatherman with exclusive tools tries to find a racist exterminator.
The weatherman?
No, that'd be too easy.
Oh, dang it. Okay, wait. So say it again because I only listened to the weatherman part.
A weatherman with exclusive tools tries to find a racist exterminator.
Thor?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Thor, the God Butcher.
Okay.
That's very easy.
You should say that to the end. That would have been a good segue.
Into the news?
Into, yeah.
Okay. Co-workers have a disagreement on new ordinance being enforced at work.
Avengers?
Close.
Justice League.
Co-workers have a disagreement on new ordinance being enforced at work.
So like Civil War?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
A tenant confronts his landlord for jacking up rent.
Hawkeye.
Yeah, you got it.
Yep, that's a good one.
Yeah, see, you're pretty good.
Yeah.
Enough of that.
good job.
See, that's three videos right there.
Oh, great.
So we have time codes in the description. We have news, the book, Back Matter Matters, and the poll list.
Absolutely.
And those are always in the description, along with our link tree and stuff. You can find our shit.
Name, yeah,
where
check
we start
out.
With, though?
We start with the news, Daniel.
We sure do.
So let's pull up some news. What news you got this week, Daniel?
So apparently on Howard Stern's show, he said that he was doing Doctor Doom.
He was doing Doctor Doom.
Yeah, he wasn't
like fucking him.
Who knows with that guy?
Okay,
but it was something that he said when he wasn't supposed to be saying it. But he said he was doing Doctor Doom.
Wow. Okay.
And I guess he was talking to RDJ for some reason.
What does that guy even look like? Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Howard Stern. He looks like he should be in a metal rock band from the 90s.
Yeah, he looks like he was in like Black Sabbath or something.
Yeah, okay. I don't know. He's got a good facial structure, I guess. I don't really know.
If he talks like Howard Stern, then it would be like a nightmare. You
okay.
know what I mean?
Then but I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't really listen to him.
Anyway.
Daniel. Dark Horse Comics is going to release an Avatar prequel called Avatar Adapt or Die, and it's a prequel comic focusing on Sigourney Weaver's character Dr. Grace Augustine. I'm glad that they clarified, because I wouldn't know who Dr. Grace Augustine was.
Yeah.
And it's gonna tell her adventures on Pandora before the first Avatar film.
The Last Airbender.
Yes.
Okay.
The Last Avatar.
Gotcha. I don't remember any doctors in those.
Do you remember Sigourney Weaver in that? I kind of briefly do, I guess. She was a doctor.
Yeah, something like that. She helped or something? I don't know.
Yeah, and I think this is to generate hype over the new movie, and James Cameron's like, it's going to be real long and people are going to be upset with me.
Yeah, and let's give you more content.
Yeah, which is weird. But
that's cool, though. I figured there'd be like Avatar books already or something, but I guess
there
not.
Might be. But this one's going to be with the creative team of Karina Bechko, who worked on, I want to say, Green Lantern Earth 1 with Gabriel Hardman.
Okay.
And the other people I don't really recognize. But yeah, so that's happening.
Cool. Nathan, the fifth Reckless book by Ed Brubaker and Sean Phillips be called Follow Me Down, coming out in October.
So by Reckless Book, is it just like the one-off graphic novels that they do?
Mm-hmm.
So like My Heroes Have Always Been Junkies and like those kinds of books, or?
Yeah, like the just the graphic novels that come out in the hardcovers and whatnot.
Do they consider that in like one universe, I guess? Or why do they name it that?
It's so I listened to a podcast with him on it. And I guess when he brought back Criminal, people just reordered like their last numbers when Criminal used to come out, you know? And so they got like shit sales at first. And so they like did like a rebranding kind of thing and just made it separate from Criminal.
Okay.
So that it just kind of made it more exciting, I guess. And people, and it just kind of blew up way more when they started doing that.
So now they're just kind of stuck.
I guess Pulp is reckless, and I think My Heroes is like reckless. But you know, those ones that they've been doing, I guess this is the fifth one.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I love those.
But yeah.
Pulp obviously won an Eisner last year.
2 years ago?
I think it was last year. Last year? Okay. Yeah. That was a good one.
Yeah, great book.
Love it. I love those, dude. I'm glad that they found an audience and it can just keep doing what they want to do.
Yeah.
Because it's great.
And I don't know how, because like The Ghost in You.
I haven't read that one, but
that came out in April, and now they have like another one coming out in October. So in a year is insane.
I guess that makes sense, because what are they normally like 100 pages or something like that?
Aren't they like 200? Because
no, I don't think so. I don't think Pulp was that long.
Anyway,
Daniel, Spider-Man, a new monthly series chronicles the final chapter in the Spider-Verse saga. So there's going to be another main Spider-Man book coming out, just called Spider-Man. I think that John Romita Jr. one is
amazing.
Amazing Spider-Man, maybe, but this one's just going to be Spider-Man. It's going to feature the return of Dan Slott, who wrote several hundred issues of The Amazing Spider-Man and penned the original Spider-Verse in 2014. And Mark Bagley is going to join him on this. And I guess it's going to be like a... It's going to be the finale of Spider-Verse stuff, I guess.
Of like his Spider-Verse stuff?
Yeah, because they did a second one. It was like Edge of Spider-Verse. And then there's the original Spider-Verse, so I guess there's going to be a third one. And Daniel, everybody wanted it. Morbius is going to be a part of it.
Let's fucking go.
By Mark Bagley, let's go.
Oh, man.
It's Morbin time, Daniel.
It's Morbin time, finally.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. When's that come out? Do we know?
Nope.
Eventually?
Eventually.
Cool.
I probably won't pick it up, but thought that was interesting. Daniel, comics are dying.
Again?
Yeah, again. Just kidding. Comic sales are up in the year 2021. Comic book and graphic novel sales rose 62% to $2.075 billion, up 70% versus 2019.
I take responsibility for like 50% of that.
Yeah, I know.
And like not reading any of
it. We read 52 different trades last year. So
yeah.
We were part of that, I think. How many billions is that just between us two?
A good amount.
Yeah, pretty much. I think that was us.
We should be comfortable.
You're welcome, comics.
Nathan, did you know that there's like the Baymax Disney Plus show is like out?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, oh, interesting.
I think eventually we should read like the Big Hero 6 like manga that came out, I guess.
Sounds published by Marvel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's a is manga it backwards? And I don't know.
I feel like it would be.
Joe Quesada is on it, I think.
What?
He did like the artwork.
No way.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Is it black and white?
I don't know. David, I don't know.
I feel like I don't know a lot. It was Joe Quesada. That was kind of cool.
I also saw at the store is that there was a book called Deadpool Samurai, and that's like the manga format, but it's like a Deadpool story.
Hmm.
And it sounds sick.
I could see that.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that'd be fun to get to eventually.
That would be kind of fun.
Nathan, we got a Paper Girls full trailer.
I saw something on Twitter, and I think it was a trailer. I don't know if it was a full trailer.
If it happened like the last couple days, then yeah, that was
probably
it.
Didn't seem as colorful as the comic book.
No.
Which I'm a little bummed about.
It's kind of like a Watchmen thing.
I want it to be completely neon and burn my eyes as I watch it, because that's how the comic was.
I want it to be all magenta and hot pink.
I know Matt Wilson doesn't do movies, but just get him.
Yeah. You
know? He'll figure it out. He'll go frame by frame.
He'll just get like lights like this that are just like pink and yellow. Yeah,
he'll
paint them.
He'll color the lights and then it'll make the show exactly. Those neon colors.
Right, right.
But yeah, that comes out really soon, doesn't it?
The end of July 29th.
Holy shit.
So
hopefully that'll be cool. I don't know anything about it.
It's so good. Like, you'd love it.
I think I read the first issue.
That's not like, nearly enough.
And I was like, this is all right.
It's like 27 issues, I think.
I know it's like Brian K. Vaughan and like, it was Michael Cho.
No. Cliff Chang.
Cliff Chang, yeah, he's great. Yeah. Matt Wilson, he's great.
Of course.
It's a recipe for really good things.
It sure is.
But yeah, I haven't read it all. Daniel, speaking of good artists collaborating with each other.
Okay.
You know how there's like that Batman thing from Tom King and Mitch Jarrett's? Batman One Bad Day.
Yeah.
Apparently there's going to be a series of series coming out one after the other. There's going to be 8 different ones for each of the different villains. The first one coming out in August is the Riddler one by Tom King, Mitch Jarrett's, but there's 8 other ones that will focus on Two-Face, Penguin, Mr. Freeze, Catwoman, Bane, Clayface, and Ra's al Ghul.
Right.
The cool ones... The cool creative teams, Tom Taylor and Ivan Reis on Ra's al Ghul.
Right, we knew.
Very cool. Oh, we did know that?
Yeah.
Okay. G. Willow Wilson and Jamie McKelvey on Catwoman.
Oh, nice.
That's pretty cool.
Jamie McKelvey. Oh, shit.
Isn't that cool?
From Wicked and Divine.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be really good.
That one will be really cool, I think.
God damn it.
John Ridley, Giuseppe Camuncoli, who we know from Darth Vader.
Oh, Yeah.
Is going to be on the Penguin.
Okay.
Which seems a little strange.
Hopefully there's cooler things in there for him to draw.
Mariko Tamaki, Javier Fernandez on Two-Face.
Nice.
So there's a bunch of them, but they all come out like 1 month after the other. So unfortunately, Tom Taylor and Ivan Reis, theirs on Ra's doesn't come out until March.
So those are all one-shots? Or you said a series of the series?
I figure they're series is because... Or maybe they're... No, I think they're... Graphic novels, because isn't that the Tom King and Mitch Jarrett's one? It's like a graphic novel.
I have no fucking clue. I think so.
I don't think it's like
That'd
a maxi.
Be cool, though.
I don't think it's a maxi series, but yeah. So I don't know what One Bad Day is. I assume like there's a thing that happened to Batman. Maybe he's dead. I don't know. And then it's like, here's what the villains are doing. So, but they got some fucking. They must believe in it because they got some banger artists on there. And then other creative teams that are good together: Ryan North and Erica Henderson, the team behind the Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
Yep. They are on a new creator-owned series called Danger and Other Unknown Risks, and it's an adventure story with laughs and adventure and a world on the brink of disaster, which comes out in April.
Sounds fun. April? Yeah. Nathan, that's hardly news.
I know. It's very far away. I don't know why he chose to announce this now, but that's like a year from now, it feels like. But I like that
creative
team.
It's like a time capsule.
We should do Squirrel Girl because it's like actually a lot of fun.
I saw that at Zia, and I'm like, should I buy this?
It's one of the most funnest stories.
Read it?
Yeah, I read the first trade.
Okay.
And yeah, it's fun. She beats up Galactus.
Hell yeah.
And that's canon.
Rightfully so. Nathan, apparently the Dink, Peter Dinklage, and Jeff Goldblum's characters in the Marvel Universe were supposed to be in Thor 4, but they were cut.
They were cut from Thor?
Thor, yeah.
Oh, no. I would have liked to see the Dink again.
Yeah. I was surprised to even see him in like...
As a big man?
Infinity War, you know?
Yeah. No, what's he up to? He's got his fucked up hands, you know?
Yeah.
He's got to just deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Just walk around being giant.
I'm excited for that movie, man.
Yeah, it'd be great. Nathan, rumors.
Uh-huh.
Apparently, What If Season 2 to drop on July 20th?
Like Beyonce style?
Potentially.
Really?
Yeah,
That'd be weird.
I don't know if it's Beyonce style. I heard this like last week.
Like this July 20th.
Yeah, like...
2 weeks from like two recording.
Weeks. Yeah, exactly.
No.
Just a rumor. Yeah, they definitely market things.
Yeah.
But...
For sure.
I don't know. If you see season 2, next time you go on Disney Plus, you're going to watch that shit, you know?
Would it get in the way of anything coming out right now? I don't think so, right?
No, not like
Marvel-wise. That's so strange. Yeah, I don't think that's the case, but
okay. Or if it is, at least soon, you know.
If they hot drop it, that'd be kind of cool, I guess. But
that'd be pretty thug.
I gotta finish the first season.
You didn't? Oh yeah, you didn't.
I didn't watch like the last two or something.
Oh my god, you nerd!
It's just all right.
Yeah, last bit of news that I had: Stranger Things creators working on a live action Death Note series.
Oh, I heard that.
So
again,
yeah,
for Netflix.
For Netflix, I guess
they're like, we're trying again.
Yeah, though that was like. A movie, right?
Yeah. Oh, so it'll be a TV show.
Right.
That's probably for the better.
Nathan, mm-hmm, last thing I just wanted to bring up. The Rolling Stone came out with a list of the top 50 superhero movies, and I just wanted to talk to you about it.
Are there 50?
There's more than 50. Because I mean, I guess there is. Guardians 2 wasn't even on this list. So, but
what does the Rolling Stone even know? Stick to music. Stay in your lane.
Exactly. I just wanted to go over some of the things.
They probably put Watchmen as number one.
Watchmen wasn't even on there. So, oh. I think I just want to.
My top 50 for sure.
It's like top five for me, Nathan. I'm gonna run some of these things by you and just ask your opinion.
Okay.
Do you think Ghost Rider is better than the Snyder Cut?
Which one?
The first Ghost Rider.
It's pretty good.
Better than the Snyder Cut.
If you were to tell me you need to watch one of these two movies right now, I would watch Ghost Rider.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen it in forever, I guess. So I don't really remember how good it is. But Nick Cage has abs, and that's worth something. You know?
All right. Well, you agree with Rolling Stone then.
Okay.
Do you think The Old Guard is better than Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
No.
Well, they think so.
She's got a cool axe, though.
Yeah, I mean, you see it like
does
twice.
Scott Pilgrim have a cool axe? I don't know.
He's got a cool, he's got a cool Rickenbacker bass. Those things are badass.
Yeah. No, Scott Pilgrim's definitely better.
Do you think that Captain America, the first Avenger, is better than the Avengers?
No.
Neither do I. Do you think Ant-Man, the first Ant-Man movie, is better than the Batman?
Did they seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ant-Man was 35. Batman was 37.
Ant-Man is fun.
It's a good time.
I just like, that's insane to me. Batman just feels like there's a lot more
cinematography.
Uniqueness. Yeah. Like film, I guess, in there.
Yeah.
Because Ant-Man's like kind of cookie cutter, I guess. But yeah. It is fun because there's like a heist and that's cool.
Yeah. Heists are cool.
Yeah. But there's heists in Batman.
Do you think that Guardians of the Galaxy 1 is better than Infinity War?
Probably.
I personally think so, but yeah. I just wanted to get your take on that.
Because like Infinity War is great, but there's a lot of context there for sure.
Yeah.
And Guardians is definitely a smaller group of people, so I could see why someone would put that, yeah.
So Spider-Man Homecoming or X-Men Days of Future Past?
X-Men Days of Future Past is my favorite X-Men movie.
Yeah, same.
Spider-Man Homecoming is not my favorite Spider-Man movie. So, yeah, I think that's appropriately rated.
Well, they agree. They disagree with you.
What?
Yeah, they think Homecoming is better.
What?
12 and 13. So.
Not a lot of people like a lot of the X-Men movies.
Do you think that The Incredibles is better than the first Iron Man movie?
I don't know. They're very different. No. It's very hard to rate these movies, I guess.
I know.
Those are very different. Fuck.
Nathan, what do you think the number one movie on this list was?
Iron Man 3.
No.
Okay, second guess. Ben Affleck's Daredevil.
Wow, that'd be funny. No.
Okay, final answer. Catwoman.
Dude, I need a serious answer from you. Do you think the number one...
The number one superhero movie, The Dark Knight?
No.
Okay, what is it?
Black Panther.
That's pretty good.
It's a good movie.
It kind of falls apart in the third act, I think, but...
But yeah, number one, you know what I mean?
I did have a lot... That's actually the only movie I've seen, like, dead ass by myself. I just went alone, and I didn't like it. I didn't like going alone. I liked the movie.
Oh, you... Second time you go alone is awesome.
Yeah, which I didn't get the chance to do. So
okay, just a couple more. So rank these three.
Okay.
Avengers Endgame, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, The Dark Knight.
Into the Spider-Verse, I put it number one.
Okay.
The Dark Knight and Endgame. Probably Endgame last, and then Dark Knight number two.
Okay. So they thought Endgame number four, Spider-Verse number six, Dark Knight number seven.
So
like kind of the opposite. Of
okay.
What you just said.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly the opposite.
So, so what do you think? Last one is the better movie, Spider-Man 2 with the Sam Raimi movie or Logan?
Ooh. Again, they're very different.
Very different, but just like, what do you think is just like a better movie?
Dude. I think Spider-Man 2 is probably the better movie, but I like Logan more. But I think okay. Rolling Stone put Spider-Man 2 above Logan.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Logan's like incredible. So
I think it's great.
Like Spider-Man 2, I don't even think about when I think about these.
What's
like,
number 50?
50? What was 50? It was the Snyder Cut.
Oh, okay. That's pretty appropriate, I would say.
They also threw in the 1960s Batman in the middle.
Sweet.
They had the Rocketeer.
Okay. Yeah, that counts.
In there in like the 40s, they had Tank Girl.
Okay. Oh, there's a movie?
It was a Tank Girl movie, yeah. Oh, I think okay. It was made in the 90s. But it was just like...
Were the Hellboys in there and like all that
the
stuff?
The first Hellboy was in there, yeah. It was like properly rated. It was in like the 20s, I think.
Okay, sure.
But yeah, I just like was reading this. I'm like...
Damn, what a task.
I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like going back and forth. I'm like, I do not agree with a lot of these.
Yeah. Someone at Rolling Stone was like, I'm going to cause some chaos today.
I'm going to drop a nuke on Twitter right
That's
now.
That's insane. No Watchmen. Get out of here. None of the Watchmen.
I think that would make people really mad if it made the list because people like really don't like that movie.
It's all right, right?
I mean, it
should be.
Yeah, because like it was just like how...
It's above Snyder
Cut.
I think
it's just a squid thing. You know what I mean? People just are unhappy about...
Squids are weird, though. Like, explosions are cool. That's easy.
Yeah, I think it's completely logical how it was handled.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nathan, let's get into the book this week.
Yeah, let's do that. Daniel, we read Thor, God of Thunder by Jason Aaron, Asad Ribic. That's pretty much it for the artists, except for the colorists. Dean White and Ive Svorsina and Josebino lettering.
Nailed it.
What I didn't realize until like right at the end is that there's like no inker for Asad Ribic and good.
That makes sense.
Because like, what do you add to Have this you, man?
Just coloring in like, the blacks like, that he put.
I don't know if you ever noticed, but like there's some panels where like the black, you could tell there's like pencil, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like it was done pencil with like coloring. Sharpie.
Yeah. And I'm like, that's kind of an interesting way to shade. But I was like, did the inker do that? And then I went and looked, and I'm like, oh, there's no inker for Asad Ribic.
Yeah, so. You look at the pencils in the back of the back,
and I'm like, these are pages,
and they're absolutely insane.
Like, there's no value that any inker could add to that. This guy Asad Ribic is like a Alex Ross that's like still working in comics. It feels like this guy, yeah,
god tier.
He's got some incredible stuff, and all of it's so fucking fun to read. And so this is like one of my favorite. It's like one of the best comics of all time for me. This Thor God of Thunder run. I didn't give a fuck about Thor before this.
Oh, yeah.
And I just like saw that. I think I started reading like a couple years after Jane Foster Thor came out. And then I like read this, the start of Jason Aaron's run. And so I picked up this hardcover. There's another hardcover after this. And then there's a Jane Foster hardcover. And that's when I like, that's what I binged to like catch up. And it's so fucking good.
So, yeah, no, it's amazing.
It's like right up there with Green Lantern by Geoff Johns for me, for sure. Just because like the evolution of the character and how creative they get, it's awesome. And it feels like outside of the typical Marvel universe, kind of.
Yeah, pretty separate.
It feels like an epic of its own. And it's like comics is the Odyssey, it feels like, you know?
Right.
So this is it's just one of the examples why long form comics work so well sometimes.
Yeah. And I think Jason Aaron is like, He's accustomed to that, you know?
Yeah, because before this, he had, like, Scalped, which went for, like, a really long time, and, like, a bunch of other series, so...
Yeah.
It makes sense, but I have the hardcover. I assume you just picked up... Or went on Comixology, because it's on there, I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I got the Thick Boy, which is pretty cool. But, yeah, this is a sick-ass book.
I don't read Thor. This is, like, the only Thor I've read, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
And I just, like, can't imagine just going to a different run.
It is hard to read this first because you can't do any others.
Like this has got to be like the definitive run on like Thor, I think so. Right?
Well, like Matt Fraction did some Thor, which was apparently pretty good.
Okay.
I mean, there's the classics like Walter Simonson. Mm-hmm. You know what, actually what I found out is that Walter Simonson's Thor, there's like a cover that he did and a random beer company took that, made it black and white and put it onto like a logo.
Yeah,
use it as like a logo.
It's like Viking beer.
Yeah,
or
Viking beer or something. It's just Walter Simonson's Thor, and it looks really cool.
Yeah, I saw him tweet about it. And I was like, this is an outrage.
That guy is just so jolly looking. I love that guy. So yeah, Walter Simonson, obviously, and then Donny Cates is on it right now and does make a very fun Thor. But
I'm sure it's fun.
I feel like this is definitely like definitive. Like if you wanted to read a good run of Thor, this is what I would recommend. Because
absolutely,
I think I could like recommend this to anybody that like
is like wanted to read, aware of the movies, you know,
or even just like if someone like wanted to read, like, I just want like a fantasy comic book or something.
Oh, sure.
Or I know that they liked like Game of Thrones or some shit like that. I would like give them this because this is cool.
Yeah, definitely.
So
I wasn't like 100% in love with the pacing. I was like 90% in love with the pacing. Like,
what do you mean?
I couldn't help but like look forward in the panels and just look at the what's happening in the artwork and then go back to read the captions, you know? Because yeah, the captions really slowed down like the sequence of like reading, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Because there was like little blocks of like paragraphs and things like that. And so it kind of slowed me down. And when you realize that the captions have not that much to do with the pictures, you can just look at the pictures and then read it.
Okay. One, you're stupid. And two, here's why you're wrong. Because I feel like Jason Aaron really wanted to like, he has like some of the most colorful writing, I feel like.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is that he's just like talking about things that are going on in Thor's life or like that things that he's like experienced that really adds context to what's going on in here.
Sure.
And while I do agree, like Assad's work, like I could read this book without any words for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like still pretty fucking cool. Mm-hmm. But I think just having like the extra context and hearing Thor's voice, which is like the Norse god sort of voice, he's like so good at it. He must like walk around his house talking like Thor because he's like nailed this voice, I feel like.
Yeah, I don't think he's like too weird with it to where you're like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Yeah, it's like not.
I think it's just like the font that they use. It makes it seem more like
like Thor. Shakespeare or some shit. Yeah. But yeah, it's awesome. And I disagree with you on that. I guess there is like a lot of captions, but it's very creative.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I get it and it works and I like it.
Yeah.
But I'm like definitely more stoked for the movie after rereading this. Mm-hmm. So
how far have you gotten in this run? You read God Bomb, right?
I think so.
So
I got like a little past that.
Okay.
I don't remember what was happening.
Malekith?
Malekith is in it.
Was there Malekith, you know, stuff?
I think I might remember Malekith and be like, oh, that's what he looks like in the books.
Yeah. So this is
not super far though.
We're reading God, but Thor, God of Thunder. The trade's called The God Butcher.
Right.
The one after this is called God Bomb, which kind of rounds out this hardcover. It tells like a fuller gore story. And then after that, there's like a Malekith section of it. And then Thor becomes like unworthy. And then that becomes Jane Foster. And then it kind of just goes on from there. Mm-hmm. A little bit down the road, one of like probably like my favorite Marvel comic is Unworthy Thor. Because it's like as fun as this. But there's crazy shit going on.
Okay.
And so it's like, it's pretty awesome. So like the whole run, I think the Malekith stuff might have been like a little bit of a low, but he keeps your interest like the whole goddamn time because it's so good.
Right.
So.
Nathan, I woke up in the middle of the night last night and I wrote down a joke.
Oh, great.
For this.
This has got to be good.
So Gore, the character that Christian Bale is playing in the movie and mm-hmm. also the main character in this, he's called Gore the God Butcher. And I wrote down, how is he the God Butcher if he didn't kill our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? God Butcher, how is he the God if he didn't butcher God, you know?
If he didn't, how is he the God Butcher if he didn't, like, butcher actual God?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Christian God?
Yeah.
Imagine if we just see Christian God in this. And he's yeah. like, oh, I was just about to...
I saw Ribic, I would trust to draw that.
I would trust him to draw Gore slicing God in half with a necroblade. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, because like every planet or something has like their own set of gods, I guess, or like every species.
Yeah, they definitely
things like that. So if they went to like Midgard or whatever,
like Christian God would be there. Yeah. I think all the Earth ones hang out in like Olympus is what they do.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
So that's pretty fun. But yeah, he creates a lot of fun context about gods in this, which is cool. But let's get into it, Daniel.
Alrighty.
So there's a past Thor. I like to call him Bro Thor because he's like kind of like a frat bro, kind of.
Yeah, he's partying.
But we see like Thor in like three different stages in this life throughout this trade. So there's like a past, a present, and a future. And past Thor celebrates in Iceland after killing like a frost giant and saving the Icelandic people. and he celebrates by drinking all of their mead and sleeping with all the women. Mm-hmm. So he's just like,
he'll stay for like a couple days.
Yeah, he'll just like party. But one day the vibe was killed when the head of a god floats through the local river, and Thor's never seen anything like it. And so
you get like one of the best Thor panels ever.
Yeah, so this is probably the most famous the most famous panel. Are you talking about where he's just looking down?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about that panel, but it just stands out to me.
Oh, I like pause and like I like laugh. It like really it's done super it's done super well. It's
just something about it is just very slightly off. You know,
like maybe it's just like a little bit too wide of eyes.
Yeah, maybe it's like, just like a little bit of overexpression. I don't know what it is, but it is my favorite panel in this entire run.
Maybe if like the eyes were closed like a little bit more and then his mouth was slightly open. You'd be like,
yeah, or maybe like less frowny because he's like. Here, yeah, do a Thor face for the camera. There you go. That's good. That's what it looks like. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought that that panel is interesting.
Yeah, just like the way he draws people with like shocked faces, it's super fun.
Yeah, and I think they do an amazing job establishing the frat Thor, because he's just like, he just loves fighting and he loves partying. So he's just like, he's just living his life, you know?
Yeah, this was Thor like 1,000 years ago or something.
Yeah, just about.
And then it jumps to like present Thor. Mm-hmm. He's got the hat on. That's how I differentiated it. Yeah,
they do a really good job of that too, because like past Thor, he doesn't have Mjolnir. He's not worthy yet, which is very interesting.
Yeah.
And then present Thor has the sweet hat. Mm-hmm. And then future Thor, he's got an eye patch and he's got a mechanical arm. And you're like, what is that about?
He's got the Odin sword.
Yeah. He's got the Odin sword, which is sick.
Which is fucking sick.
Yeah.
And he's got long white hair and it's cool.
Yeah. So present Thor answers a prayer of rain on a on the planet called Indigar, which is experiencing like a massive drought. And so after he like brings rain to this planet, he stays with the natives and he discovers that their gods have been absent like this whole time. And when Thor searches for them in their cloud city, he finds that these gods were murdered, which he identifies as the work of Gore, the god butcher.
What I thought was really interesting in this scene is that Mjolnir has like a nightlight mode.
Yeah, I've never seen that, but it's like, it's that's so fun. I don't know what it is. He's just like, let me like, charge up Mjolnir real
quick. It's got like a bunch of energy in it, I guess. And yeah. So why can't it just glow a little bit?
I know, which is like, that's a fun feature. You know, I've never seen that, but it's pretty cool. And I think that like this part does a great job establishing like the just the general population of gods in the Marvel Universe. Because he's like, where are your gods? Like your gods should have handled this.
Yeah.
But it's also, people can just pray to gods and that's how they like get messages to them, which mm-hmm. is like, which makes sense. Yeah. But it's funny that like someone from a whole ass other planet can just pray to Thor and you'd be like, oh fuck, I'll just go handle that real quick.
Someone's trying to page me right now.
Yeah. And like Jason kind of creates context by saying things like there's more gods than there are like stars in the sky and stuff like that. So the sheer number is pretty cool. And yeah. I love like the ruins of like the cloud city and like the build up to Thor finding like the gods that were butchered in there. Like that splash page where he sees them like hanging from the ceiling is so fucking good, dude.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, fuck.
It's cool that they're not just all like human size, you know?
Yeah.
Like these guys are like huge.
They're like frost giant size almost. Yeah. Which is cool.
And so just like the different designs and stuff like that. And they're all like hairless and like gray or like blue or something like that.
Yeah, but yeah, for the most part they're all like people looking.
Yeah,
so I guess it'd be kind of cool to, I mean some of them aren't, I guess,
like humanoid.
Yeah, because there's that one in like the Thor trailer where it's like that big dog looking one with spikes, like that. Oh, that's a yeah. god. So mm-hmm. I guess not all of them, but some of Jason's colorful dialogue that I just loved reading was, he writes this, he says, with such a myriad of pantheons spread across the cosmos, I never dreamed of such a thing possible. And it's just like all of that, like all the time. Mm. And I'm like, this is sick. It just feels like Thor is talking to you.
Did you notice Asad Ribic's like signature?
No.
So the one where they're hanging.
Yeah, I'm on that.
The lower left corner. Is it on there?
Does it say AR?
Yeah, it's like red.
No. Asad Ribic's name starts with an E.
Oh, it does?
So AR.
What does that mean?
We discovered this early on, but remember Avengers versus X-Men? They had like an augmented reality type thing. This is when Marvel was doing that. You had to have like an augmented reality app that you could download on your phone, and pages with the AR on there, you could take your phone out, scan the page, and it like does something.
I like literally didn't even believe you when you told me his name was spelled with an E. I'm like, is that his signature? It's so weird.
He just like has a full ass graphic design logo.
Yeah, it's like a fucking stamp.
Yeah. Like, he's like, this is me.
Yeah.
That's funny. I did this. No, yeah. So that was like a weird time, and they don't do it anymore because that's weird.
I mean, this would be a cool one to read like that, you know?
But like, I don't really know what it did. I think it like.
Why didn't it let me read it like that? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't think they were doing much.
Used to let you do that, I think. Maybe it was the Marvel app.
It was the Marvel app that would let you do it. I don't know if they still. It would be kind of interesting to go into the Marvel app and try. But yeah, that was when they were doing. They were trying something new, and I don't think enough people did it to make it worth it.
Gotcha. I was about to say, I'm like, sad Rubik.
But like the AR is dispersed through like a bunch of comics this time. So you'd need that app in order to use it. So okay. If you don't, it just kind of takes you out of
so
it.
So he didn't sign anything.
He didn't sign
Very
anything.
Very humble of him.
Yeah. Then we get Future Thor, and this one's like thousands of years in the future, and he is Allfather, but he's the Allfather of an empty Asgard. And Thor's like old and beaten up, but he's still fighting like Gore's black berserkers, as they're called, but they're like these little dogs.
Yeah,
there's like these like black dogs that like fight him, and so he's like still fighting like some of Gore's things, which is interesting. And I think like Future Thor is an interesting approach, because like you'd think you wouldn't want to know how things end.
Yeah,
but I think Jason and the readers know like how comics work. Like, even if Thor dies, he'll, like, come back or whatever.
Yeah.
So instead, he, like, kind of plants these seeds to create anticipation for, like, what's to come. But it also deceives us for certain parts, like, that come throughout the run. So, like, if you were just reading this first issue, you would have no idea that Thor becomes unworthy for, like, a big chunk of this run.
Yeah.
Or, like, you see his arm, and it's mechanical, and you're like, oh, shit, how does that happen? And mm-hmm. stuff like that. So it does... It deceives you and it creates anticipation at the same time, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. And like, there's no telling if like his run would even make it to that point.
You yeah, know what I mean? True. He didn't know either. He's just like, I'm just going to do this and hope for the best. You know?
See it. Hopefully people like it.
Yeah. But yeah, that was issue one. It's just comics at their prime. Like, great introduction. We don't see Gore yet, but we hear his name. So we know that he's like pretty important.
What I thought it was interesting is that when Thor's like finding all these bodies of these different gods, he like kind of recognizes them from like stories and stuff.
He's like, oh, fuck. We went to like dinner one time.
Like, oh, dude, we fought in this thing.
Or yeah. I got into a bar fight with that guy.
Oh, man. He didn't deserve this.
Hope the wife's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does, which I think is kind of cool. And then there's some where he's like, I don't even fucking know.
Mm-hmm.
But issue two, we dive into past Thor, and it's like his first altercation with Gore in this issue. But we see Thor's like unworthy, and he tries to lift Mjolnir, and he's like really trying his fucking hardest. Like this like third panel where he's like really putting both hands into it and like his whole ass body, and it's just not budging because he's not worthy yet. And so he's a little pissed about that, but he goes on trips with his Icelandic boys. And he's just like trying to squash beef with other gods.
Yeah.
Which is, he's just like trying to find gods to fight. And so when he gets to a fight place, there's like the bloody steed or the bloody like flying horse of one of the gods show up. And so Thor's like, I'm going to go investigate this. So he gets on the horse and then he finds like another beheaded god. And then he finds Gore for the first time. And so, yeah, it's just funny to me how Thor is just, like, living his life and picking fights with just other people. He's like, I don't know. I just want to fight someone.
There's a really funny caption here. It's like, the gods of the Slavs could have done this to themselves, I suppose. Fought each other over Odin knows what.
Yeah. Yeah, your first thing, God knows what is just Odin.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those little substitutions. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I really like this reveal of Gore, because like as he's flying this like unicorn horse thing or whatever, he sees the other god he's supposed to fight, and his
a
head's
Pegasus?
Already. Is it a Pegasus? I guess it is a Pegasus. Yeah,
this unicorn horse thing.
Yeah, this unicorn with like
that flies
wings. Yeah, whatever that's called. Yeah, no, as he like gets on it, because he can't fly yet because he doesn't have Mjolnir. he like sees the other god he's supposed to fight and he's like already beheaded. So it's like, oh fuck. And then later we see gore for the first time, which is a cool reveal.
Yeah. How do you feel about the G-string?
You know, I don't, it's fine, I guess.
I think it makes him scary. All that confidence, it's terrifying.
That's gotta be,
It's not like he has like a bulge, you know?
But like, how do you approach that? Because like, if you don't have anything there, it's just like, well, gore doesn't have a dick.
Yeah, so I guess there's...
It's a scary thong.
He has different... It's just kind of like a symbiote-looking thong thing, just kind of covering him up. Because there's different black things like all around him, different tendrils, and then he's got his robe and shit.
It ends up like later on.
Yeah, this is like related to Venom, right?
Yeah, that ends up like his sword and like all the shit around him. Yeah, it's like Null's sword.
That's cool.
But it was Gore's at first.
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm wrong about that. But
because like,
but like later
Null was like there before like the Big Bang. You know what I mean? So it's probably his sword.
Yeah, I think you're right. But
because I think when fucking
Donnie Cates
started writing that, he like asked Jason Aaron. He's like, is this Gucci if I can do this? And he's like,
and like, I guess it makes sense.
And it looks like a symbiote sword thing.
They're basically symbiotes, yeah. So,
which is dope.
So yeah, it's kind of fun how Jason is like, I guess it doesn't ruin anything, you know?
Yeah,
so,
I mean, go for it. I had no plans to describe where this came from. Or if I did, yours is way better.
True. So I like how comics can work that way sometimes.
Can you imagine trying to convince Jason Aaron
to just like change a fundamental part of like his run, kind of?
Yeah, be like, hey, can I borrow this thing that you made up? That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah,
sure. Okay. He was apparently very supportive. But yeah, it's kind of cool knowing that now, because I haven't reread it since I found that out.
There's some panels where you can't really see the G-string.
Yeah.
Like 37. I don't know if you have page numbers.
No, just show me.
There's like this panel where like it doesn't even look like he has it on.
Yeah. Maybe it's just like constantly moving. Like it's like a Rorschach mask. Like his thong just changes shapes.
Yeah. Sometimes it shows his balls. Sometimes it shows his dick. Sometimes you get some crack.
I hope it's that way in Love and Thunder.
Because like,
can you imagine
if they did like the G-string thing and
made Christian Bale wear it
and did this look like specifically like Christian Bale could like pull it off. Because, like, he, like, puts his body through, like, whatever it needs to look however it needs to.
Yeah.
He just pulls, like, an American Psycho and looks like this guy.
Yeah, he could. Because,
like, Gore's, like, shredded. Like, his legs are insane. I just kept looking at his legs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The amount of rendering that goes into Thor is so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, I in the pencils themselves, it's, like, perfect. And I'm like, I would just read it like this if I could.
Yeah.
But, like, also really the fact that the colors don't fuck it up at all. Like, it keeps, like, that shading and that rendering in there somehow, which I have no idea how that works, but they did a really great job coloring this
book. Does Assad color sometimes? Or, no, never? So, does he work with this dude all the time?
Because
I feel like this is, like, it looks a lot like Eternals that he's working on now.
I think Matt Wilson's on Eternals, I want to say.
No way.
I want to say that's what it is.
I'll look it up.
I could be wrong.
You keep going.
Yeah, so, basically, the second issue is just Thor and Gore go to war.
Thor and Gore?
It's like a Dr. Seuss book now. Thor and Gore go to war. And Thor got sad some more.
And they'll be in Thor number 4.
So, basically the fight goes on for a while in the sky, and Thor gets pretty fucked up by the end, and Gore's like, what are you the god of again? And Thor's like, thunder. And then a thunder strike, or I guess a lightning strike, because I don't know. That's just how Thor works. But a lightning strike hits Gore, and it catches him off guard, and Thor falls to the ground, and he's knocked out. And then present Thor, like, also beats up the black dog thing, and he needs to get to the halls of the All-Knowing to figure out, like, how bad things really are. So basically, the second issue is just his first altercation with Gore in the past, and then present Thor is like, is he back? Like, I need to figure out what's going on with all these dead gods, because he's not sure yet, so...
Mm-hmm.
But that was a pretty good moment with that, like, lightning strike when he's got him pretty fucking beat up. And then, like, that lightning strike comes in. Like, they do a really good job emphasizing big moments.
Yeah, definitely. And it definitely keeps the whole thing. It is Matt Wilson. Holy shit.
See?
Oh, man.
I told you.
That puts, like, Matt Wilson on, like, God tier. Because this book, like, looks amazing. I always flip through him.
Yeah, he also colors Thor for a large part of this run.
This run?
Yeah, the Jane Foster part of it with Russell Dauterman, and I think that's like one of the best duos.
Like, I love Colors and stuff, but no one touches Matt Wilson for me.
You know what I mean? For sure.
Always just so kick-ass. You know, I thought Gore didn't have a nose, but he kind of does. It's like really close to his eyes.
It's like a little
his
piggy nose. Like up here. It's like a small piggy nose.
Or like maybe an odd monkey or something.
Yeah, something like that. And so I guess in the movie, they didn't do that because they didn't want him to be compared to like Voldemort, which I guess makes sense.
Yeah, I get that.
I saw that article like 5 times. I'm like, it doesn't matter. He doesn't know. Get over it.
Yeah. This guy, if they do it right, will be much scarier.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, are we done with two?
One sec. I like how when he's just like talking to Thor as he fights him, we learn that he just kills like any and every god. And he's like, he kills like the gods of war, of like torture. He tortures the god of torture.
Yeah.
And he's like, I killed the fucking god of poems. I don't give a fuck. I'll kill all the gods. So I just like that aspect of him.
Yeah.
But yeah, issue 3, Thor travels to, in the present, Thor travels to Omnipotence City. And it's like a city of the gods to like talk and hang out. And so he goes to the library and he wants to like research these missing gods. And so he finds, with the help of the librarian there, an entire hall of missing gods, which Thor uses to find just like a never-ending trail of butchered gods.
The Hall of the Lost.
Yeah, the Hall of the Lost. And so he follows like the gods there, and he finds Gore's like black berserker dogs there. So he knows that it was like Gore that did all this. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we see the sick god that the trailer or the movie did like bar for bar. Which is really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's like the best design for a god. Like, I just want to see that thing alive. Give me a miniseries to this guy.
Yeah.
I don't care what he does.
Or just show me.
Get Assad on it.
Just get Assad to drop once.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, exactly.
Probably just looks like a spiky dog, you know?
Yeah, he just like runs around.
Yeah, but like the scale is like super cool here.
Yeah.
I hope he was properly compensated for them using it in the movie.
Probably not. I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. But yeah, apparently Gore has been like killing for like 2,000 years, and just, like, no one's been noticing, I guess.
Yeah, he's been putting in work. I mean, with all the gods that there are, supposedly, like, it would take a while for somebody to notice.
Sure, and, you know, Thor's, like, hunting them all down, like, all the ones that have been missing or whatever.
Yeah.
Or no one's heard from, and then they just end up dead.
In the past, after getting his ass beat in the last issue, Thor goes to Gore's cave, which is where he was, like, truly shown fear as he, like, recalls it. Like, this is where he was, like, truly fucking scared for, like, one of the first times.
Mm-hmm.
And in the present, Thor goes to the same cave that he remembers so vividly, and he finds another god that's hiding in that cave from Thor, saying that Gore's, like, reign of terror on these gods is because of Thor and, like, what happened in that cave. So it kind of leads up to the next issue, but...
How do you pronounce his name?
Shadrach?
Shadrach.
He's a great character. Like, he comes in, like, later in the run.
Yeah, I remember him.
He ends up becoming the librarian.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which is pretty fun.
Spoilers.
But I love the emphasis on how badly, like, this memory fucks him up. Because it's, like, emphasized that he's lived for, like, thousands and thousands of years. And, like, generations of, like, people on Earth go in, like, the blink of an eye to him. And all that stuff.
He's got so many memories.
And he remembers this cave so vividly. Right. Because of he was, like, scarred there.
Mm.
We also see Iron Man in this, which is a bit weird.
Yeah, you know.
Because he's like, Iron Man,
because like he didn't, because this was like 1,000 years ago or whatever when he last visited this cave. Yeah. And so he like needed help like figuring out where it was.
Yeah.
And
then like Thor tells Iron Man to go warn the gods on Olympus. Like, can you just like do this for me real quick? Can you like shoot them a text?
You know, if you're like in the area.
Yeah. Can you, if you find yourself near Olympus.
Can you just swing by there?
Yeah. That'd be real helpful.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty much issue 3.
Yeah, and then Shadrach was saying that like the god killings were because of Thor.
Yeah.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my bad.
All good though. So yeah, issue 4, we find out what happened in this cave, but first we see some old man Thor, and after getting his ass beaten by the black berserkers in like a desperate attempt to die, Gore keeps him alive because he wants him to like suffer.
They just return him to the throne or whatever.
Yeah, they're like, we'll just put you back here. Don't leave again. But yeah, Gore's like keeping him alive. So we know that. And in the present, Thor meets Shadrach, who's the god that had his eyelids cut off by Thor so that he would be forced to watch Gore murder more gods. Mm-hmm. So he's very creative for and how he kills the gods, which I appreciate. He's not just like going most efficient. He's like taking some pleasure out of it, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, not just a couple stabby stabs.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to get creative with you kind of deal.
Yeah, he's like saving Thor for last.
Yeah.
Which I thought was fun.
Like, that is fun.
When
he wants to know that, like, yeah, I did everything.
Yeah.
I was very thorough.
Like, because in like old man Thor, he's like, he's in, what's it called?
Asgard.
And like,
it's just empty, like dead and beaten up. It's just like a testament of his failure kind of deal.
I imagine like everything is dead, you know, like Earth's probably like long gone, you know?
It touches on that, yeah, later.
Okay, yeah.
Which is cool.
And so he's just like letting him suffer for as long as possible.
Yeah, so Shadrach like gives Thor a tip that Gorr could be in Kronix. And Thor's like, I don't know what the fuck that is. So he goes back to the library to try and figure out what that is. And the whole library is like on fire, basically, and is being burned by Gorr's dogs. And so he's able to like figure out what Kronix is. And then past young Thor is in this cave with Gorr, and he's getting tortured in that cave just for like Gorr's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And
then he's also trying to like get information about like
other Asgard gods and stuff. Yeah. And so I really like. So Thor is in like these chains in this cave, and he's got just insane back muscles. Like Asad draws just unreal back muscles. Like they don't look like traditional like comic art back muscles, because those are very like anatomic, like you could see each part. But their names are so similar, but Thor looks fucking huge.
Yeah, man, I just imagine he just looks up like bodybuilders and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, what does the back look like?
Yeah, what is the fucking huge back?
Yeah, his arms that he draws always like amaze me. I'm like, wow, that
yeah, looks sick. He's so good. And like the highlights on them too, with like these, the coloring is done really well.
Mm-hmm.
So Gorr's on this planet Kronix, and he's like sacrificing time gods to be able to travel time. And basically to end the issue, we see present Thor time travel his way to the time of future Thor. So we actually see those two meet. But it's so sad seeing like old Thor just like beg for death. Cause like, yeah, he's begging for death at that time.
Stabbed and shit and beaten to shit.
Yeah. So it's pretty brutal. And then last issue 5, Gorr uses the Kronix thing to time travel back 14 billion years ago and to like the dawn of creation. And he kills an elder god and takes his like liver or heart or something.
Heart.
And when he returns to the present to make like another jump to the future, present Thor shows up. And mm-hmm. We haven't really talked much about lettering, but Gorr has like a very distinct like lettering style. And in this issue, we see him like we see his like dialogue boxes. And I like how they're black and they have like the black tendrils coming out of it. Makes it seem real spooky.
But yeah, this is he goes back to like, I guess, before time or something, like in the void, I guess.
Yeah.
Like the first like kind of mock-up of gods made by like the elder gods or yeah, whatever.
And like one of the gods was like crying and that like created things. I don't know, it's all very abstract, I guess, but
yeah. And then he just like kills one and takes his heart, like no big deal.
Yeah. And I like how clear like Gorr is on his goal. Like when we're reading like his dialogue, he's like, gods are everywhere and I was taught to like put my undying faith in these gods, but where were they when I needed them, kind of deal.
Yeah,
which is interesting. It's like an interesting idea that he was just like failed by the gods one time, so he just kind of dedicated his life to it.
Yeah.
But we find out Thor's accidental contribution to Gorr's mission was in the past when he was getting tortured. He was being tortured for like 17 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thor's boys, the Icelandic ones,
yeah,
came in to try and save Thor. And Thor was able to like get out of the chains and he cuts off Gorr's arm, which causes him to later get his like goopy arm, the symbiote one, I guess.
Yeah, that's sick.
And that helps him kill gods. So,
oh no,
which is not. You know, Thor thought he was helping. He was like, "I'll cut off his arm; it'll be harder for him."
Because he thought he killed him, but there's like a big boom, and then he's gone. Kind of.
Yeah. So I love this like quick head turning effect of like Gorr when he like is looking behind him. We like see the path of like his pupils.
Oh yeah,
and you can just tell that his like head snaps like one way, which is super cool.
Yeah,
and basically the trade ends with Gorr going to the future, which is where future Thor is,
Because, like, and Gore jumps back in the pool for some reason.
Goes back in there. And Thor follows close behind Gore, but the future... But he gets to the future 900 years after Gore does.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks he's, like, right behind him, but Gore's had, like, 900 years. So present Thor meets the All-Father, like, future Thor, and they plan to fight Gore together. Meanwhile, Gore has, like, been building the ultimate weapon that's called the God Bomb, which leads into the second trade.
So, yeah, it made it seem like when he was going towards, like, the Elder Gods and getting that heart and stuff, that he, like, wanted to become, like, a god himself. I'm like, that's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah.
But, like, it doesn't seem like...
It's very the boys of him.
Yeah, very the boys.
Very Billy Butcher.
But, yeah, and then there's a thing saying that the next trade is the origin of Gore. Or next, so that might be the next issue.
Yeah, it's issue six. The origin
of Gore, mm-hmm. which I remember.
Yeah. He, like, needed help, and gods weren't there, and so he's like, this sucks. I'll just kill you.
Yeah. So, I think there's something with, like, his mom or something. Like,
yeah, it is. It's, like, with his parents. Or something. Yeah. They failed him. So, yeah, while this hardcover that I have, I definitely recommend people getting it, because it features, like, the Gore story more complete, and it ends with, like, God Bomb. But this is, like, still a sweet way to end a trade, like, having two different generations of the same man meet to go after, like, their longtime villain.
Yeah.
It's, like, such a sick idea.
Like, present Thor was like, father. And he's like, you're so dumb.
Fucking, I'm you. Yeah. Which he does look like Odin, because he's got the eye patch and all that. And yeah. He's like, oh my God, dad.
Weapon your arm.
Yeah.
But yeah, the old man Thor is, like, one of the coolest things.
It's so cool.
Robot arm or whatever arm.
Yeah, seeing all that shit happen. He's got
a sword and a hammer, eye patch.
I know, he's double fisting. Double fisting. It's so rewarding to see, like, how all that stuff happens too, like how he loses his eyes, how he loses his arm. So it's pretty cool.
So let's get into Back Matter Matter, Nathan.
Yep, Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. And this is some top tier back matter. This is just what the doctor ordered.
Maybe. Yeah, we got the sick variants. First off, well, I have the hardcover. I think it's mainly the same though.
Probably.
So it starts with variants, right?
Yeah, like Joe Quesada.
Yep, Danny Mickey. That's such a fucking cool one.
Wait, Danny. Oh yeah, I got that.
Scotty Young. Naturally. Of course, the goat. He drew like a Loki as a cat. There's no Loki in here yet.
He must like have not have known what it was about.
I don't think he does.
I would love to have seen like a baby Gore. With like a little baby G-string.
I think he actually said that like a lot of the times he doesn't know what the story is about.
Yeah,
they hire him like so early on that like, yeah, they don't even really know what's going on. So.
Yeah, like I think he gets hired for covers like before like teams or even like.
Yeah, I think so.
Like hired. They're like, can you
make a baby one real quick? There's a design variant by Assad which shows the three different Thors, which is so cool because like. Thor has Yarnborn, which is like the big axe. What is it called in
Stormbreaker?
Stormbreaker, yeah. I think eventually. No, Stormbreaker is like the
isn't like
Ray Bill one, right? In comics, yeah, typically.
Yeah. It's like a half hammer, half axe thing.
Yeah, so sick.
So
this one's just big axe. Daniel Acuña got some great ones in there. I think he's actually on a couple of issues a bit later.
That's a good
Olivier
fit.
Coipel.
Oh yeah.
Love that guy, of course.
Then we get a sketchbook, Nathan. You get some of that?
Oh my God, this is my favorite. I think this is probably like my favorite sketchbook I've seen just because it's so defined.
And so perfect.
Like, it makes sense that he doesn't have an inker. Like, just color over the shit there because he like really puts
just
everything.
Like, turns up the saturation or something and just makes all his pencils black.
You yeah, know? And that would work. But it's so good. Like, it's crazy to think that some of these are pencils because they look so fucking gnarly.
Can you imagine just like...
Like, does like he erase
that shit?
Does he erase ever?
Probably,
but I can't tell.
I don't see erase marks.
Yeah. But yeah, just like designing what present Thor looks like and future Thor and all that shit's really cool. I like this early design of All-Father Thor because his arm's way too fucking long. And you can tell that he fixes it a little bit later and it's colored, which I think is pretty funny.
I think
Gore design's pretty cool.
I think if his other arm was straightened out. Oh yeah, it is super long. What
yeah. So he's like, let me, I guess he does erase.
No, he just restarts and makes another masterpiece. Yeah.
Gore design's just pretty cool. I like his
Is Gorissy?
Oh my God, you're right.
No G-string here, Nathan.
There's a Gorissy. I like his head tentacle things.
Yeah, man. See, I think they could have pulled off the no nose thing, or do this, whatever this nose is. Have the tentacles be a very big, like, defining factor.
Yeah.
And just, like, and actually have the symbiote shit on him, make it animated or whatever. Sure. And, you know, have the cool little, like, cut up hood.
I'm sure what they did will be fine.
Yeah, I know it will be. But maybe like Christian Bale just didn't want to have all that shit on him or something. At least Christian Bale's possible. Like gray, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is like enough.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Like we get it.
I like this design note that Assad puts, and he says thumbs on the other side of the hand to make him slightly more alien. Which it does. It works. He's got two thumbs on either side of the hand. It looks weird as fuck. We got cover sketches, which he does. And dude, these pencils.
Stupid.
I can't believe that some of these are pencils. Stupid. It's really crazy.
Especially, it's like rude.
It really is.
It's like
it's just unfair. Like he's the kind of guy that makes other artists be like, I quit. Like I can't do this for real.
Like what kind of pencils is he using to get like these perfect shades of gray?
I don't know. Maybe it's like digitally flatted.
Probably.
I would think so, but like you could tell where some of it's like pencil shading and not so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Or I guess like there's some pages that don't have any of the gray.
But you still, don't have like, this because it's for issue 11, but look at how insane this is.
Oh man, that's sick.
Yeah. Pretty cool. So yeah. Did you have anything more in your trade? I have like more pencils for other parts, but
yeah, I just had a bunch of pencils for number 2.
Yeah.
But yeah, very sick cool. Shit.
Good ass trade. Dana, I rate this a gotta have it, but two of them.
Two gotta have it, Nathan.
Two gotta have it.
Because you got the hardcover and it's technically two trades.
Yeah, it's basically two trades, and I would read this shit 100%. And it's got all the good stuff on there.
We maybe could have done like the whole hardcover to get the whole gore story.
Nah.
But this is
just our whole such a podcast, good ass trade.
The whole point is to like get people interested and then like have them move forward from that, you know what I mean?
I guess. Or if you've read this before, it's just fun to hear people talk about it, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So but yeah, this is two gotta have zits dunked into a Starbucks Trenta. That's how much I love this. It's all the highest ratings you can get, because it's just like it's the best.
Yeah, and this is a Caniac combo. Sub the slaw, extra toast, sauce.
Oh, really treat yourself.
Then on the way home, go to Cold Stone, get a gotta have it. You get whatever your heart desires.
That signature creation.
Right now, I'd probably go for like one of those chocolate brownie ones or whatever.
For sure, yeah.
I'd definitely hit the spot after, you know, some canes.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just like die. I don't know. Like food coma. Like
die of happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then just have like this baby.
So good ass book. I definitely, yeah, recommend this. I don't recommend this enough, actually. Like as a story, it's like it's the best. I think anybody could get into it and, you know, enjoy it unless you don't like gods or whatever. But this is one of the better ones.
And you really like nailed it with suggesting it to people who like fantasy stuff, because it really falls in line with that.
And yeah, then, it's got that and everything's just operating at 100%.
And then just super mythology like based. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, super sick.
Very good. And it's good like throughout the whole run. So
yeah, I imagine.
Let's get into the pull list, Daniel. Call in.
Shove it in your box.
Yup.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Big week.
Spent $60 today.
Oh my! Oh yeah, you had to. You didn't go last week.
It bit me on the ass.
That makes sense. I spent like 30. Picked up Batman 125.
The first Chip Zdarsky book.
Yep, first Batman. And
Jorge Jimenez
by Mr. Zdarsky. Yeah, that's like if I were to fan cast a Batman comic. Literally, yeah. It's got Chip, who obviously we love, Jorge Jimenez, my comics man crush.
Yeah.
And Tomo Mori, who's like a sick colorist on Batman.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that shit's cool. I read
what
that.
What I wouldn't fan cast is that price.
How much was it? I didn't even care.
$5.99, Nathan.
Worth. I'd pay $12.
Like, there definitely was like a lot in there.
There's like two comics in there.
Yeah, I don't know there's, there's like an Asia in the back or whatever. Mm-hmm. That was interesting, but what else did you get? We'll talk about.
I picked up Starhenge number one by Liam Sharp.
Oh, right. I didn't see that.
That's his. It's all him. It's only by Liam Sharp. Mm. Like he writes it, draws it, colors it.
Cool.
So that's a big project from him that I'm excited to read. I picked up Something Is Wrong with Patrick Todd, number one, by Ed Brisson and Gavin Guidry, or something like that.
Oh,
it's his new book coming out. Twig, number three, Saga. And then I picked up the first two issues of The Closet, because I missed number one.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Good, good, good.
So I'm excited to read those.
Yeah, I got Closet 2, Batman. I got Batman Killing Time, number five. Firepower, 22. Little Monsters, number five. Need to start that.
I was just like, I'm not gonna.
How long is that? It's only like,
I think it's ongoing.
Oh shit! I need to make a decision on that.
Yeah,
like Kid Vampires. That sounds cool. I tried like googling like the cover for Little Monsters for the YouTube, and there's like a movie that it's like a zombie movie about this like elementary school teacher. It's the girl who's in Black Panther. I forget her name, but she's like the love interest.
Like T'Challa's sister?
No. The love interest.
Oh, the love interest. Oh, I don't know.
She's also in like Us.
Us, yeah.
Yeah. So she's in it. So she's like
very cool.
It's got Josh Gad in it. so
he's like always kind of sprinkled into some random project.
Yeah, so she's like an elementary school teacher who is like taking these kids on like a field trip. And they go to this like gift shop thing, and then like Josh Gad like runs like the place, and a zombie apocalypse hits, and they're just in this gift shop, and it's super good actually. So,
did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it when it came out. It came out in like 2020, I think. It was one of those first things that just came to streaming.
I thought you saw this because you were googling Little Monsters.
No, and then you're like, I'm gonna watch this movie. It's called Little Monsters, and so there's like kid zombies in it too.
That's pretty fun.
It's pretty fun. I recommend it.
What else did you pick up?
Twig 3 and Saga 60.
Yep.
So what did you read, Nathan?
I read a bunch of books, Daniel.
So did I, kind of.
I read 8 Billion Genies number 2 this week.
Good stuff?
It's great. I love that book a lot.
Is it better than 1?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Because like, you see more craziness happening. I think that the first issue does really well setting up a lot. Uh-huh. And the second issue, I guess, does explain a lot because the people are like having questions. And they like did a really good job defining like the rules of this universe. Like you could tell that like Charles Soule and Ryan Brown were like talking with each other. Like, how is this going to work? How is this going to work? Why isn't it like this kind of deal? Mm-hmm. So that's really interesting to see. So I like that book a lot. It's only going to be 8 issues too, which I think is cool because the 8, you know?
Yeah, he already got the deal, so you can just cut it off at 8.
Yeah, he's like, fuck it.
He's like,
that was always the plan though.
Next.
I read Silver Coin number 11, which came out last week. And that book, like, still impresses me to this day.
Who wrote that one?
That one was Mr. Tinian.
Ah, okay.
And so he was on it again. I think he did one before.
Yeah.
But, like, there's just, like, truly unique horror concepts in that book. Like, things that I would never see, but, like, you wouldn't see in, like, a movie, I don't think. You know?
Okay.
Like, there's interesting ideas that are, like, fun to flesh out in, like, a one-shot.
Short
thing. That I don't think would, like, carry like a whole ass movie. Mm-hmm. But I think it works in Silver Coin's like benefit, you know, because it's just like the whole time I was engaged, I was like, oh fuck, that's disgusting. And it was just really good. Like number 11 is like one of my favorites of like the entire thing. So
wow, yeah, I think a good like horror anthology is something
creative.
Really useful and also really creative, because then you can flesh out a lot of these like little ideas rather than having something that would fill like an hour and a half or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
I read Public Domain number 1. I'd already read it because I subscribed to Chip's Substack, but I hadn't read it all in one.
Do you know how much is released on Substack?
4.
4 issues?
Yeah. And he's working on 5 right now.
Gotcha. Yeah. I read it too.
Great, right?
Dude, it was like a heartbreaking like masterpiece.
It really is.
I was like fucking like tearing up reading it, because it was like, oh, it was amazing.
It's clearly for people that understand like the cool things about the comics industry and the incredibly tragic things mm-hmm. about the comic industry and like about IP and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's really cool it's not for everybody unless you like love comics, you know, like this is a book for people that love just comics as a whole. And so I felt like it was just perfect. Like it, and it's so good throughout. Yeah. Like the it's like sad in like a, the weirdest way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's just like people
should be sad, like aren't, you know? But exactly. Like your heart still breaks for them.
I know. And I know. So, it's so bad.
I think people who just have like a decent understanding of like, I don't know, what's it called? Intellectual property.
Yeah.
Like would find it interesting, you know? Because this shit happens all the time.
Yeah. And it plays on that argument of like, work for hire, you know, like he was hired to work on this thing, so like he doesn't own it. But
it sounds like it was like a like creator own kind of thing, you know what I mean? But also,
no.
Not to get like spoilery about it, but
it's also a really fun satire on like comic book movies and stuff because they're like, oh, we're in the middle,
I don't even think it's six
of the PCU or whatever he calls it. So
I don't even think it's a satire. It's just a straight up like
it just makes fun of
retelling
it,
retelling almost,
yeah,
with like some you know, just fictional names.
Yeah,
you know?
So I love that shit. It also ends really great. I forgot that like last panel where he's like, I own the IP. I was like, oh fuck, this shit's so good.
Because like when it was getting to the end, I like kind of saw where it was going. Mm-hmm. And it like I love when you kind of can predict what's gonna happen and then it just plays out even better than you thought it would.
Yeah. And like the last panel. And it's how it's like kind of zoomed out in like a really dramatic way. And he's like making this realization. I don't know. It's so good.
Yeah, no, it's
great. So I'm subscribed annually for it. But if you want to just pay for like 1 month, you could read all of it.
Yeah.
It's called the Chip Nuts tier, I believe.
What is it like? $7 or something?
You know? Yeah, I think about $5 to $7 or something like that.
Okay.
And
I guess that makes sense.
It's great. So he compiles it all together issue by issue in like PDFs too.
Okay.
I'd been reading it like just when they come out.
Sure.
And it was kind of hard to keep track of things. So it's kind of a weird way to read a book, but I like that he compiles it together in like a PDF or a CBZ file.
This was like one of those rare instances with like me where I like, as soon as I was done reading it, like Sarah got home and I like told her about it and explained like everything and kind of, I think she was kind of knew like how people can kind of get screwed with like movie rights and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she like understood what I was saying and like can empathize why I liked it so much.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't read comics at all, so it's like
it's just a really interesting
the fact that like, she's able to like kind of understand it like is cool.
It must be so like hard to make something like that so interesting, you know?
I don't think so,
but like you could tell like that all. I mean I've heard him talk about it and like, he's no, like I like, wanted no to one... make my own thing, and he's like people tell you to write what you know, and he's like the only thing I know is comics, so like he kind of just made a story about comics.
Yeah.
And you could tell like how much love and sort of hate for the industry there is at the same time, so it's really unique.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not
no I want to get him back like on perfect. And I just want to talk to him about it.
Oh, that'd be sick.
Yeah, maybe we'll get him on for like Devil's Reign when that has a trade come out or something, because
or like the public domain trade.
I would love to have, yeah, absolutely.
Just like in general, he's a little bit out of our range now. He's a Batman. He's a
Batman writer. Yeah, what the fuck?
Speaking of Batman, Nathan, you read it today?
Batman Fortress number 2. I read that. It's pretty good.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
His that cover for that looked very Derek Robertson for some reason.
A lot of the art is
the plane just reminded me of like Tech Knight. I'm like,
yeah,
this looks like Tech Knight.
You can tell that there's like the Boys influence in there almost, or like just like some of that style kind of bleeds over, because sometimes like people smile and I'm like, that's Billy Butcher.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So but it's really fun seeing him like draw Aquaman and stuff.
Oh, spoilers, dude.
Well, like the whole
I haven't read Fortress 2. So just like
the Justice League is in the book. That's like part of the pitch.
No spoilers.
Yeah. So Batman 125.
Yeah, this is cool. I was like, I'm like, I know he's going to do well. He's good. He's a great writer. And I was like,
it's a great concept.
I don't know what happened in 124. You know, I didn't care. I was going to pick it up until he started. And
does a pretty good job.
It seems like a pretty clean cut, and they talk about anything you need to know, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought it was being predictable, it wasn't predictable, which is cool. And then we get like an 8-page Catwoman story in the back that connects to it.
Yeah, so
it's actually kind of interesting.
I guess the things that I miss and maybe would like to know what happened there is the marriage between like Batman and Catwoman, or like
is that canon?
I guess. It's like part of Tom King's run.
Did you finish Batcat?
No.
That would probably explain it.
It probably will. So, I don't know. But like...
Because it's pretty clear that it happens in Batcat 12.
Yeah.
Because the cover, you know? But I think that...
I don't think you should need to read that, I guess. It's not a big deal. The big deal, Daniel, is that they're not married. The big deal is, Daniel, that there's a sexy Bruce Wayne shirtless.
Good.
By Jorge Jimenez. And I'm like, this guy's the best.
Oh, man, he's incredible.
Yeah. And there's also a Catwoman, but I care more about Bruce Wayne. Catwoman
doesn't have many clothes on, but wow.
But man, Thomas, or Bruce Wayne.
Yes, sir.
I read that and I thought back to my question when we had him on, where I was talking to him about shirtless guys and... The White Trees, the book that he did with Chris Anka.
Yeah.
And I'm like, does Chris Anka draw the best shirtless man? And I wonder if that answer has changed for him. I don't know his top three.
Dude, White Trees was like...
It's very erotic somehow. It's
like all shirtless men. So it's like...
Yeah, true.
It's hard to compete. This is just like one page, you know?
I need to know his top three then. Because Jorge's got to be in there, and maybe like this guy on Daredevil. I'm spacing on his name. Marco Cicchetto. He's good too. Anyway... Yeah, like the Robin. I mean, spoilers, I guess, for 125. When Robin gets like shot in the neck, I'm like, "What the fuck?"
I was like, "Didn't he just die or something?" Like,
no,
a while ago he died in like Detective.
He did, but he got teleported away, and people thought that he got obliterated.
So,
like seeing that happen, and then it like harkens back to like Jason Todd.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "This is pretty cool." And then Penguin unalives himself.
To frame Batman,
and I'm like, that's just the ultimate petty thing to do.
Yeah, I know.
And then there's like the reveal at the end of like some robot character named
the Executor.
Is that what it was?
Oh.
Wasn't it called like Contingency or something?
I don't know what that thing was called.
I don't understand
what that whole bit was about.
Yeah, but I'm interested in learning more. So pretty cool. Also, comics, I liked
leave you doing.
I liked seeing. When Bruce Wayne went to like that gala and he like puts on like a half Batman suit because he's like, oh fuck, I need to turn into Batman right now. So he puts on the cowl and he just puts on like the utility belt.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is Batman, I guess.
He's like, I'm Batman. Anyone else?
Yeah. And like, what's interesting is that you could see his eyes through that. So I guess like the eyes are a different part that he puts on because like he just had the cowl and you could see his like eyes and like the whites of his eyes and his pupils.
So in a different part of the book, did he have the white eyes?
Yeah. So I wonder,
maybe it's like his, if like,
they thought about that at all, but it's like kind of cool.
Maybe it's like his business casual like cowl.
Business casual cowl, yeah. I like that. And then so there's the Catwoman story at the end where I don't know, an underground gangster dude has like a lawyer and there's like trying to figure out Penguin's will, and we find out that Penguin has like 10 kids.
Yeah.
I wonder what they look like. Cuz it's pretty clear they went kind of more Danny DeVito Penguin.
Yeah, very close.
Which I thought was cool. But yeah, that's just interesting in general. So very good. I'm excited, man. I haven't picked up a main Batman book since Tom King. Or actually, I picked up James Tynion's for like a little bit, and then I was like, it's not for me.
Yeah. So
I'm excited to pick up Batman again.
When was King off of it? Like
88 or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
For sure. I read Saga 60.
Cool.
Which is like the end of that trade.
Heard is very sad, kind of.
Yeah, kind of sad.
Cool. Love that. Love feelings.
That was the cheapest book that I had in my stack. Like I was
it's
going
like $2.99, I was like adding right?
all yeah, I was like it's $2.99. I was like adding everything up, and then I get to the bottom where Saga is, and I'm like $2.99.
Thank God.
Once again,
that's the best marketing, I think.
Yeah,
it's so interesting how that book has found an audience. And I listened to a podcast that Brian K. Vaughan was just recently on the Sketched podcast.
Oh, cool.
And he talks a lot about like the things he does because he loves comics. And like he talks about that $2.99 price a lot in like the hiatus with Saga. And there's like a lot of interesting background. And he also has like a newsletter / website where you can like read comics, and that dude just like loves comics and he's like the best at doing them, so it's really cool to see.
It was called Sketched?
Sketched. Yeah. SKTCHD. I don't think there's any vowels. I can send you a link, but that's okay. A good podcast. He has like a lot of people on. So I only listen to like the ones of people I know, but he's great.
Uh-huh. Cool.
What else did you read?
That was it.
Nice.
Watch anything new? Play anything new?
Started watching One Punch Man again. I got through half of the first season when it was like first coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But now me and Sophie are just watching it because we needed like a short show. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just need a short show.
Yeah, that's pretty short. It goes by like really fast.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. What about you?
So I finished that show, The Bear, that I was telling you about.
Yeah, I've seen more on it, and I recognize the marketing for it, so I might watch it pretty soon.
There's like a thing that happened at the end that just really caught me off guard. It's not like a spoiler, really. But so we finished it, and it's good stuff. Like, it rounds out really well, and it kind of feels like a one-season kind of thing, but I guess if they wanted more.
Who's that actor? Where have I seen him before? He looks so familiar. Who's Mr. The Bear?
That is the dude from Shameless. That's like literally the only thing he's been in.
Really? It seems like he'd be more, but I guess you're
perhaps
right.
Perhaps, like maybe something that I forgot that he was in or something.
Okay, anyway.
So the whole thing, he's taken over this restaurant that his brother left him in as well, right? And they just keep talking about the brother, like every episode. His name is like Mike, I think.
Okay.
And so the last panel of the last episode, he's like reading this will, or not a will, but like a letter to him. That just kind of makes everything nice about their relationship or whatever. And so they show the brother, which they haven't done the whole season. And it's just fucking John Bernthal. I'm like, they just threw John Bernthal in here?
Well, like, he's in the trailers and stuff.
John Bernthal is?
Yeah. I saw him in like some of the marketing.
Oh, dude. No, I haven't seen anything. And so it's like, we're talking about this guy. I'm like, oh yeah, Mike, he's dead now. And that sucks. And then they just show him at the very end. I'm like, is that fucking John Bernthal? And I tried to explain to Sarah like who that was, but like she's not seen like anything that I've seen.
Al Capone from Night at the Museum? Are you kidding?
I should have brought that up. She's probably like, oh yeah.
Yeah, that guy's great.
And so, yeah, that was just like such a left turn for me.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it was super weird. And then we also started the show that came out last year, I think. It's called Clickbait. Have you heard of that?
I think I have heard of that.
On Netflix?
Yeah.
So it's this like dude, he's got like a family and all, and he like goes missing. And there's this like video that's going viral of him with like signs, right? It says like, I abuse women. And another sign says, when this video gets to 5 million views, I will die. And he's like obviously like being held hostage. And he's been like, I don't know, kicked around,
sure,
and being forced to film this thing. And so it like keeps like building up popularity and gets like closer and closer.
Yeah, that's great content.
Yeah, I know. And then like fucking news outlets are reporting on it. I'm like, don't report on this thing that where it says don't watch this,
yeah,
or else someone will die. It was just like so dumb,
but like that would happen.
Yeah, absolutely, because
news outlets need a quick buck.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, if it's like 8 episodes, I think, like an hour in each. And it's like this
sounds
huge
good
thriller thing. No, it's awesome. My mom like recommended it when it came out.
Oh, your mom did?
Yeah, my mom.
Okay.
Not your mom, my mom.
Your mom.
No, your mom recommended
it. Sophia does that all the time. It's like, I guess Peruvian. She's Peruvian, like do that all the time. Like her sisters would say like my mom or like when she keeps saying like my house or like my apartment where we live when she's talking to me. I'm like, oh, your apartment. It's really funny. But anyway,
why don't you go back to your house?
Yeah. I read After School, by the way.
Oh, cool. What'd you think?
It's so weird.
Isn't it weird?
I did not expect it.
That's why I didn't like recommend it to you. I'm just like, hey, you should read this.
There's like clearly good like comic book pacing and storytelling in there.
Yeah.
So it was like a lot of fun. I just didn't understand like what was happening like the third act of that.
Yeah.
But it was really fun just like seeing her get confidence in this dog. Mm-hmm. And then she like goes downstairs and the dog's like fucking smoking a cigarette. And she's like, oh, fuck.
He's like, about to like make food. Yeah, that was like my favorite page. What is this?
I'm like, this is a good comic. As soon as I saw that. Yeah. And
it's just like a one shot and you'll never see those characters again.
Yeah.
Isn't that fun?
And I like the silly, they had like a silly Doberman dog or something, like a tall dog.
Oh, I thought that was like a Great Dane or something.
I think, yeah, it was Great Dane. You're right. But I just like, they did good with like doggy expressions. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It was all around fun time. It just got weird at the end, which is not a bad thing. But yeah, fun ass book. So that's like an anthology series,
I guess.
Cool.
Yeah, and it'll be like a different creative team too.
I'll have to pick that up.
Yeah, when when Drew recommends things, I normally listen, I guess.
Yeah.
He also never recommends things, so this is the first time I'm like, I gotta give it a shot.
That was the first thing he recommended to you?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow. You gotta, like, have a lot of faith in it then. Because, like, that's kind of weird. Like, that book is kind of weird.
Because he, yeah, I mean, he, like, goes through...
You have to know that people...
Like, a ton... Like, I don't think he reads everything that comes through his store.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably, like, narrows it down to just a few things. And then when he actually reads something that's new, he's probably pretty stoked on it.
Yeah, probably. You know how sometimes you read things and sometimes just, like, the mood that you're in, it, like, makes the comic hit different?
Yeah, dude, I read when I'm getting tattooed, and I'm like, I fucking hate this book. You know what I mean? But it's like Preacher or something that's like a good book, but yeah. I'm just like in pain when I'm reading.
I remember I read that Spider-Man one-shot by Chip when I was just like alone one day.
Oh, no. Worst time to read it.
Like, for whatever reason, I was just like alone at my place, and I was just reading a bunch of comics, and just being alone and then like reading that, I definitely cried, for sure. But yeah. It was probably like a similar thing. Not him like crying, but like he was just in a mood for something like that. And I could see how that would hit pretty different.
When we were rereading Saga, and I was like reading like the big-ass Nutcrusher compendium next to Sarah, like the more emotional parts, I'd just like suck it up, be like, it's fine. It's not even sad, you know? I'm macho. And so, yeah.
I could see that. Yeah.
That's why I like reading up here, because I can be alone with my emotions.
Yeah. That's great.
But yeah, should we get into the shows, Nathan?
I didn't watch Ms. Marvel. I was pretty busy today, so...
Okay, cool. That's for me to edit. Sounds good. Did you watch The Boys, though?
I sure did. God damn it.
God damn it. What an episode.
So good.
You know what my favorite part was? When,
this is The Boys episode 7, by the way.
Episode 7, correct. When, Soldier Boy is with the, mature ladies.
Oh, yeah. And he's like... These girls age like fine wine. he's got such a good like Captain America voice.
Because I turned that on, and that's like the first scene, right? And like Tucker, my roommate, is like in the room. Sarah's in the room. I like turn it down. And like, this show is so fucked up.
And like, what was he trying to do? Was he like, he was already hard, but he just needed lube,
I guess. I don't know.
That was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because like to him... He hasn't aged, you know?
Yeah, so you'd think
he'd still be getting with people that were like, I don't know, 30, 40s or whatever, that looks that age, yeah.
Well, Jensen Ackles, he's like 45.
He looks great.
He looks fantastic.
He looks 26.
Yeah, I know.
I liked, so what's the Mind dude's name?
Mind Storm. His name's Dan.
I was like, Mega Mind?
No, yeah, when Soldier Boy like pins him, he's like, "Hey, Dan." I'm like, "That's me."
Yeah.
his chest blast at Herogasm like got rid of some people's powers. Mm. I don't know if it like hit them and then no powers or whatever, but
I think if it hits them and they don't immediately incinerate, it just takes away powers.
Okay.
I think that's the idea.
So they go after Mindstorm, and Mindstorm, like, he's like in a cabin in the middle of the woods.
Very paranoid.
I guess if you make eye contact with him, it just puts you in like a mental trance. Like trap prison kind of thing.
I think that's a conscious thing that he does. I don't think that just like happens. He's not like Medusa, you know?
Okay.
I think he like has the power to do that effect on people, and that's just what he defaults to.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, that was kind of cool. We saw like, what's his name? Kenny? Something like that.
Lenny.
His like little brother. So
Butcher's little brother.
Yeah, that was interesting seeing more of that, more context like around his dad. Because we didn't really see a whole lot of that before.
Why we don't like him.
Yeah.
And
he's just
makes a lot of sense. That was it was cool. It was cool to see like I'm not good with words today. A vulnerable side of Butcher. You know what I mean?
And like seeing him kind of become his dad in a way.
Yeah.
Which is probably like what he doesn't want, but he just like can't really help it kind of deal. I'm going to kind of jump to the end, but there's like, we see all of that happen, and we see like during the show, like shots of Lenny cuts to shots of like Huey kind of deal, and how he kind of like associates those two together.
Mm-hmm.
At some point when Starlight's getting Compound V for Kimiko, she finds out that Temp V will kill you or give you like a brain aneurysm after 3 to 5 doses. She tells that to Butcher, and Butcher just like doesn't tell that to Huey after all that, which seems wrong, because he's like,
or like incorrect, like
yeah, like that.
Why have all that like supposed character growth?
And then he just doesn't tell Huey, and he wants to do more V with him. Like, it seems weird because it was very clear that Butcher wants to protect Huey. That's a very easy thing to just like tell him to prevent him from getting hurt. And
yeah,
he just like doesn't. So, I mean, I'm not judging too hard until I see like the next episode, because it'll probably explain why that is. But it just seems off to me to have all of that explanation and then not do anything about it, you know?
What would be cool is, like, this is the point, like, say, maybe next episode, they all get permanent V.
Could be.
Cut, like, the show, or the book, you know?
Yeah. Could be.
So, going back to the Mindstorm thing, so they're, like, looking around for him,
mm-hmm.
and there's, like, this like nun and priest like looking down.
Dude, that was so fun.
The Soulja Boy immediately shoots the priest in the head. Yeah. He's like, they're brainwashed. Just like, mind-storm. This is what he does.
Yeah.
And then he was like, I don't think so. And then the fucking nun just jumps on him trying to kill him.
He's like, shoot her. That was like such a funny scene.
It was pretty like relieving just that Soulja Boy was just right about something, you know? Yeah,
it's not like him being completely crazy all the time, even though he's like hearing things or whatever. That was I like how they did that,
because
he knows Mindstorm and it's not him being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, fuck you, I'm not crazy.
Yeah, and so they catch up to him, and I guess he spills the beans on something. I think maybe just saying that Vought gave the green light on it. It wasn't like the Russians.
Oh, like the thing that we didn't hear?
Yeah.
That was him telling Soulja Boy that Homelander is from Soulja Boy.
Right. We'll get to that.
Okay.
All right, no, let's get into it now. That's crazy.
That's insane.
I thought it was like, well, he seemed like he was, sorry, that was my chair.
Okay.
It seemed like he was piecing that together, and then he came to that conclusion at the end of the show or something. Maybe.
I wouldn't have pieced that together, because he was so focused on how Vought killed him, and he's like, why would they do that kind of deal?
No, it was like the Russians captured him.
But
it's not
like
they
were
in cahoots with Vought, you know?
It was.
Did you know that?
Did you see the Black Noir cartoon part, which was awesome, by the way?
Right, but Soulja Boy doesn't know that.
Soulja Boy doesn't know that, like, it was Vought's plan to get rid of Soulja Boy, and they used the Russians to become a part of that.
We know that, but did he know that?
He does not know that.
Right. So I thought it was, that whole scene with Dan was him just saying that Vought greenlit his capture,
mm-hmm.
and then Payback just had to go along with it. And so that's why I thought he got mad and then smashed his head.
I think he got mad after finding out about Homelander being his son, too. I don't think he pieced it together.
Because he was talking about how he, like, jerked off into a cup at a hotel once. And then, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, but
I
guess so.
So.
Which, that was such a sick reveal, by the way.
Oh, yeah, insane.
Yeah.
I, like, wanted to flip my table.
I was like, oh no.
So, Soulja Boy, I guess Homelander's, he said he was like the upgrade, right? And so Homelander can also like fly, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm thinking like, yeah, he was a test tube baby, but you need like an egg in order to do that, I'm pretty sure. So who do you think, who else lives really long and can fly who could provide that egg?
Stormfront. Yeah, that could be the
case. What if Stormfront was Homelander's mom?
Accidental incest?
And then he was just fucking his mom.
But
I think that's something that the boys might do. You know
I wouldn't
I mean?
Put it past them. But Stormfront would have to not know.
That's possible. Or
I think
she might
doesn't
be a
know.
Sick woman too.
No, I think she doesn't know, because she seemed really happy that they let like Homelander. She seemed like she found somebody to like be, I guess, the Aryan sort of.
Well, Soulja Boy didn't know up to this point, so why?
Yeah, Stormfront probably wouldn't.
Why would Stormfront know?
But yeah, I think you could be onto something there for sure.
So that I think that could be really fucking funny.
Yeah, that would be really funny. And he's just like, ooh, she like jerked me off this season.
Yes, because that could be like something. Because she was in this season, you know what I mean? So that kind of makes it all kind of fresh, you know?
Yeah, it does.
And so equally as gross. There's a really funny part that Huey was saying, or no, not Huey, Frenchie. He was like in the like apartment, and MM's like telling him to like stop doing drugs, and he's like, the Lord hates quitters.
Yeah, I know. That was pretty good.
That should be a shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So Kimiko wants her powers back, and
Starlight helps.
Gets the V to her. She like cuts off like the whole relationship thing with Frenchie, which like I was actually kind of warming up to, but now that they cut it off, I'm like, it seemed like they did it well. You know what I mean?
I liked their relationship. I think the way that they did it, I was like warmed up pretty immediately because it seemed like there was a lot leading up to their relationship. Because like in the first season, he like tries kissing her after, no, he like kisses her after her brother dies. After Kimiko's brother dies or something. Mm-hmm. And it was like the worst time. And then Kimiko kisses him. And it was like, he fucked that up. But it was like bad timing as well because he got captured. And so I'm like, it would be kind of nice if they have a relationship after all these things happen to them, trying to keep them apart.
Sure.
But, I guess it's fine if they are just chill with one another, I guess, too. But I saw a really interesting thread on like someone asked on Twitter and like Eric Kripke, the showrunner, like answered it. And someone asked, like, why is Starlight okay with Kimiko getting Compound V rather than Huey getting Compound V? Seems like a bit of a double standard kind of deal. And he answered with, like, with Kimiko, it's about protecting her family. And with Huey, it's about trying to, like, protect, I guess, himself.
Yeah.
Kind of deal. So, like, Kimiko knows about it and wants to do it despite.
And has lived with it, you know?
Yeah, and has lived with it and all that stuff.
And she didn't want it at one point.
Yeah, and Huey's kind of doing it just kind of for like a confidence boost kind of deal.
Yeah, so, no,
for the wrong reasons.
That makes sense.
That does make sense. I didn't think about how there were two different Compound V situations there, but yeah, I thought that was cool.
I thought it was funny that they had Kirkland whiskey.
That was pretty funny.
A Costco quantity of whiskey.
And she's like, oh, Kirkland, nice. And I also really
product placement thing.
Yeah. And I like how when she was leaving the Seven building, like Homelander there is there and like confronts her and says all this shit, and she was like live streaming the whole thing.
Yeah, that's like something that
was so
I would
smart.
Think they should have been doing like in every scene with Homelander.
True,
but then they finally do it. You know,
well, like she was being paid by this like Vought and like the Seven at that point.
Yeah,
and at this point she doesn't care. But I like how quickly he changes. Like he throws on like the public mask.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fun. But yeah, good show.
So just a couple more things. So A-Train's alive.
Oh, yeah, that was weird.
And then they got, and he has Blue Hawk's heart.
That's
in
so fucked, dude.
That's so fucking funny.
It's like, I guess it's fine. Like, he wasn't going to use his heart anymore, but just, like, symbolically, so fucked.
They do shit like that in, like, Grey's Anatomy, like, all the time.
It's so messed up.
Where, like, there's, like, a school shooter or something that ended up dying, but has, like, perfectly fine organs that can save the people that he shot kind of thing. And so,
like, if you take the emotion out of it, it's, like, normal. But symbolically, that's fucked.
Just say it's anonymous.
I don't wish that A-Train died, but it seemed like that was a good point for him to die.
Yeah, because I don't think he had that big of like an impact on the show. Like at this point, I guess because he wasn't running.
I'm just curious what his plans are.
Maybe he'll wise up or something and help. I guess
it would have to be something like that. Yeah. Like I'm curious what
they didn't do it for nothing. Just to keep him there.
They have a plan with him and I'm interested to see what that turns into. But yeah, the Blue Hawk thing was, he's like, what are you talking about? I wonder who found him. Cause they were pretty in the middle of nowhere. So,
and then like you were saying, Noir was hiding at like a Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Yeah.
And
I love Noir this episode.
There was the animated anthropomorphic memories that he was having, which was super fun.
Yeah. They did that really well.
And so I guess Soulja Boy did all that shit to Noir's face when we thought it was like war or something.
Yeah, it was like that explosion, but it was like, him using like his shield and shit, which is so fucked.
Super fucked. And I like how like his animal, Black Noir's animal, was like a black sheep.
Yeah, I thought that was cool.
Black sheep Noir.
Yeah.
That shit's hilarious. But yeah, good show. Like it. One more coming out in the next couple days, or when this is out, it'll be out.
I like it so far better than season 2.
This has been great.
Yeah, it's been awesome. So hopefully good ass ending.
Yeah, I wonder if Soulja Boy is gonna be in this season or just the season, or
if
they're
know.
Just gonna keep dragging out the Homelander being an issue thing.
Maybe. I thought Homelander was gonna die probably like this issue.
A perfect ending would be like Homelander dies. I guess that it's kind of hard to see that now, but, and then Soulja Boy ends up being like the new issue.
Yeah, it could be
like for next season.
Yeah. I just like how the situation changed so dramatically in like 5 seconds with the sun reveal, because it's like, oh no, like we had like a fight fire with fire kind of situation, but now it's just like created this whole forest fire of like just bad. Now there's two Homelanders you got to fight kind of
deal. Right.
So that'll be interesting. But yeah, love the show.
Love it.
What are we going to read next week?
Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
We are going to read Powers.
We sure are.
By Brian Michael Bendis and Michael Avon Oeming.
Yeah, the Who Killed Retro Girl.
And we're going to watch the PlayStation show.
We're going to watch it all.
We're going to watch it all two seasons.
Nathan's coming over. We're going to binge it.
Yeah.
All 20 hours of footage or whatever.
On the PlayStation Network.
Yep, yep.
No, we're not going to do that. I don't even have a PlayStation, but...
I got the DVDs.
It's that'll be next week. So, that's the show.
That's the show. Thanks for watching, listening. If you're listening, go watch.
If you're watching, thank you.
Keep watching.
Yeah, keep going.
Watch it again.
Give us a like if you're watching. If you're not watching, go watch and give us a like.
And subscribe.
And subscribe.
Smash that subscribe button. Turn on the bell notifications.
We have a link tree to find all of our things, but you can email us.
All of our shit's in there.
You can email us at tradewaiterspod@gmail.com too. Give us some recommendations.
Yep.
We got a lot lined up, but when we don't have a lot lined up, I have no idea what we're going to do.
We so love having
us,
more.
Give us some recommendations. Yep. We got Twitters and stuff. That's all going to be on Linktree. Just check that out, I guess.
All right. Thank you.
Peace.